Tim in the pocket. Pumps one, still in the pocket. Now throws deep. Decker is there and hand fights and makes the catch at the Charger 36-yard line.
Colquitt puts it down. Prater has it up. And we are tied at 13 with 1:34 left in this football game. They run it left side. Tolbert's going to lose yards as he's backed up and dropped at the 35-yard line.
Great play by Miller.
Snap placement. Kick on the way. Does it have enough? No.
Oh.
No, it is wide right. Wide right.
Wow.
And off to McGahee. Willis is going to be inside the 35. He's free. Inside the 30. McGahee inside the 25. Spinning inside the 20. First down, Denver. Lonnie Paxton will snap. Snap is good. Placement down. Kick on the way. And it is over in San Diego. There's a lot of Denver fans here, folks. Matt Prater from 37 yards out in overtime has delivered the Broncos to a 16-13 victory here in San Diego over the Chargers.
You heard it right there. Highlights courtesy of Dave Logan and News Radio 850 KOA in San Diego as the Broncos beat the Chargers 16-13 on Sunday. With John Elway, I'm Chris Hall. You're listening to Elway Live on DenverBroncos.com. And thanks for joining us today. As always, we're taking your questions through Twitter. Just include the hashtag ElwayLive. And John, for the fourth week in a row here, we get to sit down and talk about another Broncos win. The team, you hear players talking about stacking wins and building some momentum and building some confidence. Doing it on the road against the division again, that'll do that.
It really will, and I think that that is the key, is the fact that with each win, we gain more confidence. The team gains more confidence, continues to play well. And anytime you have hope that things are going well for you and good things are going to happen, I think if you look at it and the way that we've controlled the football on the ground, but also not turn the ball over and beat ourselves. And I think that any time that our guys now feel like we're in the game, especially in the fourth quarter, that they're going to outlast the other team, and because of the physical nature that we play with on both offensive and defensive side of the ball. So they're playing with a great deal of confidence, and hopefully we can keep that rolling.
Beating each team in the division on the road, what does that kind of say about this team? It's the fourth time it's happened in Broncos history. I think as the season starts to really kind of form here, getting this late, the end of November, early December, can you kind of see, okay, this is what this team is starting to look like, a confident team that can go beat all three division teams in their building? What does that say about what's going on downstairs?
Well, and I think the bottom line of what it proves is when you go into a season, the bottom line, our first goal is to win the division. And I think to be able to go on the road and win three straight against our division rivals, that it shows that we can beat them on the road as well as at home. And I think that this is something, not only does it show us for this year our ability to win in hostile places on the road, such as San Diego, Oakland, and Kansas City, that it's going to add and help us in the future going on the road against the divisional foes. So it's important. Plus, if you look at it, we've got Minnesota this week. We got to go back on the road again. I think it's our fourth week and out of five that we've been on the road. So they're getting that confidence on the road, and then finish with three out of the four at home.
I know you were down on the sideline for the tail end of this game Sunday, when such a close game, 16-13. Does it really kind of show that it really took each phase to help contribute to how this team beat the Chargers, who are kind of on a downslide right now, that they'd be the first to say that, but who at home, the Broncos hadn't won there since 2009.
Yeah, and I think that if you look at it, and you mentioned it, I think it's so important when you look at all three phases of a football game, special teams, defense, and offense, and all three of those phases are playing very well. I think if there's any unsung heroes in this situation, it's really the guys playing on those special teams, because Brenton Colquitt and Matt Prater have been tremendous in the kicking game, but the coverage teams have been unbelievable and really done a good job in situations where if we're playing field position against other teams, we've been able to win that war, which in the long run is very beneficial. So I think when you look at the special teams and how well they've been playing, and Jeff Rogers, our special teams coach, has done in coaching them and really putting the importance on that phase of the game, has really helped us get us where we are now.
As the game went into overtime, John, what were you kind of thinking when you were down there, hoping first the Broncos win the coin flip, and then we got the first possession, had to punt? Then you're sitting there watching San Diego line up for their kick. You were down there. What were you kind of keeping your eyes on as OT?
Well, I mean, it's always – I think I enjoy getting down there because you really, you know, obviously sitting in the stands and sitting in the box, you don't get a true sense. And so I always enjoy getting down there and smelling the grass and getting the – it brings you about to reality of how difficult the game is and how physical the game really is. And so – but down there, obviously, when we won the flip, you know, so many times in overtime, you win that flip, you got a chance to – you get the first chance to win the football game. And so we felt good about that. But obviously didn't get the first down or didn't get it down there in field goal range, but we're able to, you know, back them up and got good field position. And then as time went on, I was just hoping that we were going to get enough time because that quarter seemed to go so fast I was hoping that we were going to get another opportunity before the quarter ran out and you know, thinking we're kind of staring a tie in the face. But, you know, Tim got the first down, and Willis made a big run there late to get us down there in field goal range, and then Matt came in and put it through for us. And so, you know, they played five full quarters, and that's a lot of football in a very physical, hard-nosed fought football game that, you know, in the long run, I think that we outlasted them.
How much of a kick to the gut would you say was that McGahee run? I know Matt's field goal ultimately did end the game, but when you saw Willis get through the line and all of a sudden he's going 20 yards downfield, you're kind of thinking, okay, here we go. Here's another great run from Willis McGahee late in the game.
Yeah, and I think that was something that we're waiting for, that big play, especially in tough times like that. And in overtime situations, you need those big plays from somebody. And the offensive line did a tremendous job opening the hole. And Willis, you know, he's just been so good for us this year and played great and such a veteran presence, plus such a patient runner. And when he sees a hole, he's able to accelerate and get through it in a hurry. And that's what he did there. And he was going full speed. And that once he got into the secondary, we were getting down there close to field goals range. It's just, you know, what you're worried about the guys coming up from behind and stripping that football, but he did a good job securing it.
He said in the locker room afterwards that he takes pride in being the kind of back who, as the game goes on, as he gets more and more carries, he almost gets more and more confident. He feels stronger with how he's carrying the football and relishes that chance to get a carry like that in overtime to set his team up. And ultimately, what was the chance to win the football game?
And you know, and that is what he's all about. You know, he's a big back, 235 pounds, and so a guy that's very physical and can take a lot of punishment. But also, when people are hitting him, he's handing out a lot of punishment. And I think you got to give Lance Ball some credit too, and Jeremiah Johnson. They got in there and spilled him a little bit to be able to keep him fresh. And when they were in there, they ran the ball and did their job very well too. So, you know, when you talk about rotating those backs in and out, they do a good job of keeping Willis, healthy as well as fresh, and I think that showed late in the game.
With John Elway, I'm Chris Hall. You're listening to Elway Live on DenverBroncos.com. We'll talk a lot about the defense here in the next segment and then come back to the offense in segment number three. Plenty of time to get your questions in on Twitter. Just include the hashtag Elway Live. We'll be right back.
Rush 7. Rivers is going to be hit as the ball's thrown, incomplete, and Brian Dawkins got a free shot at Phillip Rivers and ran right through his chest cavity.
Snap is good. Four-man rush. Rivers deep in the pocket. Now flushed. Being chased by Dumervil, who grabs him from behind, and down he goes. Back at the 15-yard line. Rivers drops the throw. Five-man pressure. Rivers is going to be hit and sacked back at the 30-yard line. That's Von Miller. Von Miller will get credit for his 10th and a half sack of the season. Gets up and salutes. Snap, four-man rush. Rivers deep in the pocket. He's looking for a place to go down, and down he goes back at the 30. Elvis Dumervil was there. He had help from Jason Hunter. The sack at the 30. The clock is running.
It's incredible. You know, and the moments that we have, the wins coming in this locker room, it's, you know, it's this is why I play the game, you know, and it's incredible when we go out there, we work so hard during the week, we go out there and it shows up. The mindset that we had in the locker room, we was just coming to work, you know, keep our head down and just truck and just truck. And then at the end of the season, we'll see what happens. And we're still trucking, you know, we still got a long way to go. And that's gonna be what we're gonna do. We're just gonna keep taking it one play at a time, one day at a time.
Highlights courtesy of News Radio 850 KOA. And you also heard from Von Miller in the locker room following the Broncos 16-13 win over the Chargers in San Diego. With John Elway, I'm Chris Hall, listening to Elway Live. Let's get to some of your questions. Thanks for sending them in. Beverly Mays, John, is wondering what you think of this defense and the job it's doing when it gets back into the red zone and how it did against the Chargers on Sunday.
Well, obviously we've got better and better each week, and I think if you look at the Charger game, we started a little bit slow, but really gave up, 3 points the last three or four quarters, or four quarters of the game, and so really came on and played well. And we've seen them blossoming over the past three or four weeks and really coming into their own. And they're getting more comfortable with the defense and playing within the defense, understanding the concepts within the defense. And once you understand that and they can react, then they're out there just playing. And I think that that's what we're seeing right now, is that they feel comfortable. They're not having to think about what their assignments are. They're able to call the defense and then get lined up and then react to the play that they see coming. And so when you get football players playing with their instincts and just going and making plays, I think that that's what we're seeing in our defense, and the fact that everybody's comfortable with what they're doing and flying around and making plays.
Before camp, Dennis Allen made it clear that he wants this defense to be feared. Coming out of the break, fans listening just heard the kind of clean run that Brian Dawkins had at Phillip Rivers, went right through him. And I think between that and with the Von Miller and Elvis Dumervil getting there also and sacking Phillip, he didn't look or was able to play too comfortable back there. There was guys around him quite a bit. How did you see that, and how much did that eventually lead to what the rest of the defense is able to do?
Well, and I think that's one thing when you look at our defense, and where, you know, Dennis Allen has done a tremendous job, is mixing up blitzes with just four-man rushes. And I think that where we're so fortunate is the fact that when we do go a four-man rush, we've got two of the best coming off the edges in Von Miller and Elvis Dumervil, and then the inside guys inside, Ryan McBean and Marcus Thomas, have done a good job inside, with as well as Robert Ayers. And so to be able to create that rush with four and mix it up and throw in different blitzes, really is, it's tough for a quarterback because you never know what's coming. And then all of a sudden, then there's a couple times we had a three-man rush and we drop eight. So to really keep the quarterback off balance. And I think that's what you saw against Rivers on Sunday, was we had him so far off balance, and plus he was getting hit a lot. And anytime as a quarterback you get hit a lot, that affects you. And so, that's Dennis Allen's mentality, as we heard him say, is that he wants to be feared and that defense to be feared, and he's going to play an aggressive, physical type defense. And that's exactly what we're seeing with the defense.
A lot of times Elvis, Vaughn, whoever gets a sack will say in the locker room after the game how, hey, there was great coverage on that play. I got to say, our corners did a great job. Beverly's also wondering, Champ Bailey, Andre Goodman, Willis McGahee, he said he think Goody had the best game of his season against the Chargers. How did they play against what is a pretty potent offense usually?
Yeah, and I think that's one of the great things. We've got a great thing going, and like you said, Andre Goodman, really the last 2 weeks, has really had two fabulous games and really feeling comfortable. Got the interception for a touchdown against the Jets, and then again had a great game against the Chargers. And then Champ's being Champ. We know he's a great cover guy and a great player. And so we have a great combination that we're getting good coverage, which is making the quarterback hold on the ball a little bit longer, plus mixing that with a good pass rush. It's kind of a lethal weapon to have when you have those two combinations working together.
Let's stay in the back end of Dennis Allen's defense. Sean Edlin's wondering, what do you like about Quentin Carter so far when he's been coming in and playing this year? What's he shown as a rookie?
Well, he just keeps getting better and better, and he's a big physical force back there, and has a good feel for the ball and a good feel now for you know, how to play the safety position in the defense. So he's and as a young guy that he is, he's a very intelligent guy. So he's playing, getting more comfortable within the defenses, and continues to grow with that each game that he plays with the experience. And the great thing that he's doing is we see, you know, he's a sure tackler back there. And when we do, you know, get a breakthrough in the front seven, that when they was running backs do get into the secondary, he's a very sure tackler back there. And him and Doc both, you know, with great tackling, really stopped some potential big plays in the run game that they may have had.
Von Miller in overtime made a play that I think has been on the highlight shows maybe just as much as Matt Prater's field goal, backing San Diego up 4 or 5 more yards there in overtime, making them kick a little bit of a longer field goal. Was that almost a veteran sort of play, not just in it's how it was made, but the fact that it was made in that situation?
Well, I mean, I think the bottom line is great players make great plays in tough situations, and I think that we've seen that with Vaughn all year, and you know, we feel like we're still scratching the surface with him, but he's had a tremendous year. But the bottom line is, in those situations like that, the great players that separate themselves have that ability to make those type plays in the situations that we're in. You can't really explain why, but they just have that innate ability to be able to do that, and Vaughn has that, and that was a tremendous play. You know, like you said, the 4 yards back doesn't seem like a lot, but when you go from 49 to 53 yards as far as the field goal, psychologically that's got to bother you.
With John Elway, I'm Chris Hall. You're listening to Elway Live. We're going to talk about Tim Tebow and the offense when we come back from this break, plus more of your questions from Twitter. You're listening to Elway Live on DenverBroncos.com.
Takes the fakes, bubble screen, throws to Decker in the end zone, and Decker's got a Denver touchdown. They faked the bubble screen on the left side, and then Tebow threw a laser to Decker, Tim, in the pocket, pumps once, still in the pocket, now throws deep. He wants Decker. Decker is there and hand fights and makes the catch at the Charger 36-yard line. The right fake, Tebow in the pocket, sets and throws. Pass is going to be caught. Rosario high inside the 15-yard line. Dante Rosario has a 1st and 10 at the Charger 12.
Two receivers crossing from the right, Decker going on a seam, a comeback all the way to the left, and you know, just kind of turned into pump faking it to the left, and Decker started crossing. I could see the safety had his back to me, and so I tried to put it out wide for him, and he made a great play, and you know, just like he does every game. And you know, then Dante down the sidelines had a, you know, it was a great call by Coach McCoy, and that was a huge catch by Dante.
With John Elway, I'm Chris Hall. You're listening to Elway Live on DenverBroncos.com. Let's get right back to your questions. John, this next one's from Janet Cornish. Janet wants to know, 22 carries on Sunday for Tim Tebow. How well is he holding up, and how does he hold up with some of the hits he was taking? I know he took one shot late on that run he had in overtime as he went into the San Diego bench.
You know, he's a big physical guy, and obviously, any time as a quarterback that you carry 22 times, you're gonna get hit. But I will tell you this: is that the good thing about Tim? He has an innate ability when he's out running around is to really understand when to get down, when to take a hit, and when not to. And so I think that if you really watch of his 22 carries, And I'm not trying to slight the hit, but he does a good job of sliding away so it's not a direct hit. Now, he did get it pretty good in the fourth quarter when they caught him, or the overtime when they caught him on the sideline. But he really does a good job of not taking those big hits. Now, you know, the key thing is a lot of times a quarterback feels more comfortable outside the pocket, because once you're outside, you can protect yourself a lot more than you can within that pocket. Because when you're in the pocket, you're standing there and you're looking downfield. And so you're really a lot more unprotected inside the pocket than you are outside the pocket. And I think if we go back on what I said, is that Tim has that innate ability to be able to avoid the big hits. And so I talked to him today, and he says his body feels better now than it did at the start of the season. And so he's just a big physical guy and loves doing what he's doing.
Yeah, holding up okay after 22 carries. As we played the highlight earlier from KOA of Brian Dawkins running through Phillip Rivers, who was sitting back in the pocket doing just what you just said, looking downfield, going through his progressions, took a big lick, he crawled up, but Tim, he is finding ways to kind of, at the last second, maybe shield himself or cut and make a move and not absorb all of the force from some of these hits. Let's go back to your questions from Jeff Davis. Jeff wants to know, John, talk about this O-line. What are they doing these last 4 weeks that's helping contribute to stacking these wins?
Well, they just keep getting better and better, and they're more comfortable. I think that you're seeing us execute it. Obviously, with Tim coming in 6 weeks ago, and now that, with the offense kind of being new, and there's always new wrinkles with it each week, but a lot of the stuff is always in there. And so I think the getting more comfortable with the plays and also executing the plays much better. And if you could probably ask every one of them to a T, and the fact that they would much rather pass block than they, or run block than they would pass block, and so they like to fire out and hit people and control that. So they just continue to work better, and the more that they each week they seem to get better and better and working better as a unit.
I try and get down there pregame as the O-line and D-line come out of the tunnel, try to get those shots, and the line there that you could see in their eyes, they're focused, they're hitting each other, they're getting psyched up, they start walking out of the tunnel, they have this, I think, nastiness that you would like from your O-line.
Well, I think that when you look at the mentality of the whole football team right now, and that's to be playing the aggressive defense, and anytime, you know, you make the commitment to the running game like we have and stick with it like we have and being physical up front, I think that that's what they like to do. And so, you know, there's a physicality that's gone along with the defensive side, but also when you're in the running game and running the ball like we are, there's a physicality that comes with that, and they've really stepped up and have been physical and moving people off the line of scrimmage.
I know we've talked about third down and maybe being a little bit more consistent offensively for four quarters, or in this case five quarters, because it was an overtime game. Janet has another question, John. What would you say was maybe the biggest improvement the Broncos made offensively this week against San Diego?
Well, I think that I wouldn't say it's an improvement. The best thing is we didn't turn the ball over.
Yeah.
And I think that we did a better job. We were more consistent. We didn't have we were making first downs every series. We didn't have too many three and outs, which is what you don't want. And so we did a better job of at least every series picking up first downs to where we didn't have the dry spell like we did against the Jets, where I think there's 8 out of 9 that we had three and outs. And so we were in there, and we were able to keep the defense off the field. And, even though they didn't turn into points, we're getting some first downs, which, helps your confidence and helps your defense and gets them rested up. So if anything, we were more consistent each time we went out on the field.
Janet, Jeff, good questions. Thanks so much for sending them in. With John Elway, I'm Chris Hall. You're listening to Elway Live on DenverBroncos.com. We'll be right back for our last segment.
I think it's a mindset, you know, it's something that we've stressed as a staff. You know, to go on the road anytime, you know, is difficult duty. You know, and again, it's just, you know, getting guys in that routine, getting them with that mindset, what it's like to go into, you know, foreign territory. You know, something that I think our guys are starting to develop some confidence in.
Yeah, they're all important. You know, I just have to, you know, if I'm sitting around waiting, you know, I know I'm going to have a good snap and hold, and you got to come through when it counts.
I couldn't even look, you know, when they kicked the field goal. And, you know, I heard everybody start screaming, so I thought it went in. And then I looked up, and that was our fans, you know, cheering it on. And, you know, we drove the ball. Willis had that great run. And then, you know, I pretty much knew it was a wrap there. You know, Prater's automatic from that distance, and he put it in. You know, it was pretty much automatic for me. I knew it was going in.
You know, we're focusing on us, you know, what we got to do each week, each day, each play. You know, so, you know, we don't want to be distracted by, you know, all the noise. We just try to, you know, stay focused on what we're doing.
With John Elway, I'm Chris Hall. You're listening to Elway Live on DenverBroncos.com. Let's go over a couple of housecleaning items real quick, John, with what you're doing down the hall with Kyle McCarthy and Mike Muhammad. What do they do to deserve getting brought up to the active roster?
Well, they've done a great job on the practice squad, and plus they're coming up. And with Cassius Vaughn going down, we had a slot there. And so they're going to come up and help on the special teams and help us, you know, in the defensive backfield. And Kyle has had, you know, he's come on. He had knee surgery last year in camp, was still kind of battling through a bad knee. And now that he's healthy again and full speed and has been practicing tremendously. So he's back to help on special teams as well as Mike. And Mike's coming in as a linebacker, can play all the three different linebacker positions and also a big help on the special teams.
Question about the practice squad from Burt Brands. He's wondering, is fans don't get to see much from players who are on the practice squad, pardon me, player like Adam Weber. Can you say something about Adam and what he's been doing since he came to Denver?
Well, yeah, Adam's been great, and I think the practice squad, you know, you look at the practice squad, it's really a developmental squad for these young guys that, you know, when you have 53 guys on your roster, it's not very big, and really most of those 53 guys are either active or not active at times during the season depending on injuries, and so your practice squad really is eight guys of young guys that don't have any experience or a lot of experience in the NFL. They can't have had more than nine games, be active more than nine games in the season, and you have the ability to be on a practice squad for 3 years. And so it's really for those young guys to come and practice. They practice hard every day. They're on the show teams for either the offense or the defense, but they're also getting great technique work and work within the offense to really develop these guys. And we're hopeful that, you know, these are guys that we can develop into football players that eventually will be on our football team. And Adam's a great example that, you know, he's a young quarterback from Minnesota that's come in and done a great job, you know, really with the show teams for the defense, but has really showed us that he's got some potential to be a good quarterback. And so we're hoping that he can continue to develop, and plus he's a great kid in the locker room, and he's good in the locker room as well as a meeting room, and you know, he's been a big help for Tim and a good support system for Tim as well as Kyle and all the other quarterbacks.
These guys play an important role. A guy like Adam, they play an important role as the team gets ready to talk about playing show defense. They're getting the guys ready to go for their opponents for these wins, losses, that these games that count.
They really do, and I think that you know, they're probably the ones that work the hardest in practice day in and day out, because they're, you know, a lot of times Adam Weber has to run wide receiver at times and play some DB at times because of the numbers that we have, and really depending on injuries on how we practice week in and week out. And so the practice squad guys really they earn their money in the fact that they practice really hard, and plus it's good for them to get those reps and also you know, work on getting better each day.
Broncos go on the road again this weekend, this time to Minnesota. Christian Ponder, rookie quarterback. Adrian Peterson, he has an injury. He's fighting. Broncos going to play indoors. John, what are some of the factors you see that could contribute to how this game plays out Sunday?
Well, obviously the Vikings have struggled this year, and we're not sure if Peterson's going to be back or not with a high ankle sprain, and plus Christian Ponder, who's a young guy but a very talented guy that we liked last year coming out in the draft, who's athletic and can throw the ball and very smart, and so he continues to get better and better, and this being his rookie year, and he's playing quite a bit. So, you know, we're going to have our hands full. Anytime you go up to Minnesota and play the Vikings up there, it's a difficult place to play defensively. You know, their front seven is very good on the defensive side, so we've got our hands full there. So you just anytime in this league, we got to take it 1 week at a time and really be prepared to play our best football game because you never know what can happen. And so that's why we can't look past the Vikings and realize that they're a very dangerous and talented football team that we have to be focused and going up to go up there and play our best football game.
Not to mention a very loud place to play. I remember going up there for the preseason, I think last year. It can get pretty deafening at times in there. John, thanks again for taking the time this afternoon. And fans, thanks so much for sending in your questions. If you ever miss any of the Elway Live podcast, just go to denverbroncos.com/Elway Live. With John Elway, I'm Chris Hall. This has been Elway Live at denverbroncos.com. We'll have another show next week.